And this is The Download on 720 WGN. Rob Hart here until 11 o'clock tonight. And when you think about the holy trinity of social media, there's Facebook, which is how you know which of your relatives are voting for Donald Trump. Then there is Twitter, which is being used with great frequency right now, especially as people decide to snark at the Republican presidential debate that's taking place. And then there is LinkedIn, which is primarily known as the social media application that sends you a lot of emails, and you also receive endorsements from people you've never met before. It's like the line from Rhinestone Cowboy, getting LinkedIn endorsements from people I don't even know. Helping us to help you really get the most out of your LinkedIn profile, we're joined by author Brenda Bernstein of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. Brenda, thanks for joining us on WGN.
Pleasure to be here, Rob.
So I've had a little bit of experience with this because for the past couple of months I had been in the job market myself, and I didn't know if I wanted to continue in radio or embark on some other career. So one of the first things that I did after I found myself with a lot of time on my hands was to try to really enhance my LinkedIn profile, because what people were telling me, it's like, no, LinkedIn really is important. That this is a way that you can get in touch with other professionals. This is the way you can actually find job listings. This is the way that people can find you. I think I've beefed it up, but I don't think I beefed it up all the way. So when you talk about how to write a killer LinkedIn profile, one that will get you noticed, one that could get you into the interview, and one that can get you a job, what are some of the most common things that people are missing?
One of the most important things, and some people do this and some people don't, is to put keywords into your profile in all the possible places you can put those. Most people have figured out that you put keywords into your headline. So if you're a news anchor and you're looking for a position as a news anchor, you want news anchor to be in your headline. That's fairly straightforward, but not everyone gets that. You know, some people are graduate students, and they write graduate student. Well, no one's looking to hire a graduate student. They're looking to hire a physicist or a psychology professional or something like that. So you want to put the actual content and substance of what you do in that headline. So you don't want to just say director at your company. You want to put what type of industry you're in so that people will be looking for those keywords in the headline. And then you want to make sure those keywords are not just in the headline, but actually in your job titles. So people don't think, oh, I could put extra words into my job title. So they write, well, I was, you know, director of advertising, but what's the industry? Like if someone's then looking for someone in retail, they want retail to be in your keywords. So you want that in your headline and in your job titles. You can add those in.
So it's a little bit of SEO, search engine optimization.
It's a lot of SEO, absolutely.
Now that is something, and when I that was something they taught us here at WGN about 5 or 6 years ago. The interactive division of Tribune took everybody in the company, newspaper, radio station, into this conference room and just taught us how we can write headlines that will catch the attention of Google News. And but they said there's an art to it. You have to be honest. You can't try to look like you're gaming the system. For example, he said when you're writing a story and there's the opportunity to put metadata inside the story, like don't put in your story about the city budget Britney Spears bikini photos, so it would go to the top of Google News. If you are writing a LinkedIn profile and you put things in there like innovator or disruptor or you know, some type of business buzzword, does that help or does it just irritate people?
I believe words like innovator and disruptor would not help and would irritate people, because a recruiter's not going to look and search on the term innovator. They're going to search on a term like business consultant or speak, or this is someone who, actually, no, this is actually a business owner, right? So he's going for business consultant, speaker, author, right? So those are the things people are looking for. If someone's looking for someone to fill a position, maybe executive, retail executive, COO, CIO, you want to put your actual job titles in there and the industry that you're in. That's what recruiters are looking for. Now, the other thing that people do on the other side of annoying is to put the actual keywords that they do and just put them a zillion times in like into their summary section. So I've seen summary sections that look like HR, talent acquisition.
Oh, okay.
That is the other way to annoy people tremendously, to like overdo the SEO without being human.
Well, one of the things that I kept that I would continue to run into as I was going through my job search, which was making sure or trying to do the best I can to make sure that my resume, that my LinkedIn profile, that whatever I was doing was actually seen by the human being who was making the hire for that particular position. And I even applied through LinkedIn, and you're talking about how recruiters will do a search for people via LinkedIn. How can you – you mentioned a couple of things that annoy recruiters. How does a recruiter view LinkedIn? Like if you're trying to work on your LinkedIn profile so that a recruiter or a hiring manager can see you while they are doing their own search, how can you view LinkedIn through the recruiter's eyes?
One of the things you want to do is – and this is not something that people know, but it's helpful to put your name even up in your summary section. That helps them see who you are and what you're saying about yourself. You want to put the most important things about yourself right up top in your headline and your summary. The other thing is, don't ignore that skills section. A lot of people think the skills section is kind of not important because people can endorse you for skills, and anyone who doesn't know you, like you mentioned before, can endorse you for skills. So people don't take it seriously. And that is a mistake if you want recruiters to be looking at your profile.
Yeah, that's the strangest thing about the endorsements is that I'll get an email from LinkedIn saying someone who was in your high school carpool has endorsed you for Adobe Audition. And I want to say, first off, this person who was in my high school carpool, I don't think you know that much about radio to know what Adobe Audition is. It's an audio editing software program. Nice person. I don't think you know how that works, so I don't really trust that endorsement.
Yes, and nevertheless, recruiters search on that skills section, and they look for the people with the most endorsements for a particular skill, and they will use that number and that sort to then look more deeply into who someone is. That's not something that the average LinkedIn user can do, and so we don't realize that it's so important. If we are job seekers, the recruiters have a special program. They buy it, they pay for it, and they can search on skills. And they trust that if you've got over 100 endorsements for something, hopefully not all those people were in your carpool, and it
I had a big car. It was a station wagon.
It could actually
we
mean
had 50.
Something.
If you look at some people who they have their LinkedIn profile and it's their name and what they do, and it's obvious that they haven't really touched it since they signed up for it 6 or 7 years ago. At this point in time, at this point in technology, and at this point in the job market, should everybody have their LinkedIn profile up to date and looking as good as it can be?
Well, everybody is a big word. I don't know that.
Well, most
professionals should. There are some professions where it's not as important. Teachers is not as important. Social workers not as important.
The nature of their industry and how people are hired.
Exactly. I spoke with a social worker at a party the other day. He's like, I don't really pay attention to LinkedIn, but he has a job he's very happy with. He doesn't want to leave it. He's doing very well. He doesn't need to have a completely optimized LinkedIn profile. But if you're in any professional industry, like you're, you know, a consultant, you're in retail, you're a program manager, a project manager, even now in academia, it's starting to become a little more important. For a while, I would say, oh, if you're in academia, maybe not. But now in academia, I think you do need to have a good LinkedIn profile. And, you know, I'm talking to a bunch of graduate students tomorrow night at the University of Wisconsin about just that. So pretty much every industry now, yes, you do need to have a good LinkedIn profile.
Do you have to pay for the upgraded version so you can see who's checking your profile, or is it okay to live with the with that nagging question in the back of your mind, who was that anonymous person who just looked at my LinkedIn profile? Do you have to pay to upgrade, or is that not necessary?
That depends on your priorities. I have managed for 7 years and being the author of a book about LinkedIn not to pay for my LinkedIn membership.
So you wrote the book on it and you're not paying for it.
I do not have a paid LinkedIn membership. However, there are other people who think it's very important and want to reach out to the people who've viewed their profile. Now, that's not a foolproof solution to get the premium membership, because people can still turn off their settings and say, I don't want anybody to see if I viewed their profile. And then whether someone has a paid account or not, they can't see that that person viewed their profile. But most people do keep that setting open. So if you want to, if you're in sales and you want to be reaching out to all the people who you know land on your profile, then you definitely want to get a LinkedIn premium account.
Brenda Bernstein is the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. When we come back, I want to ask you about the job search feature for a job seeker, because I spent a lot of time looking at jobs that were being advertised on LinkedIn, and whether or not that's an actual resource or if this is just companies trying to fulfill their EEO requirements. So we'll talk about that coming up on The Download on 720 WGN. This is The Download, 720 WGN. Rob Hart here until 11 o'clock tonight, and we are joined now by Brenda Bernstein, who is the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. And you looked at my LinkedIn profile, and you have decided it is very much not killer. It's not even harmful. It doesn't have a hint of malice to it. It's actually very, very benign. What do I got to do?
Well, one of the first things I noticed about your profile is that you don't have a summary section written, Rob. And the summary is this opportunity not only to put keywords into your profile, which we already talked about. We want keywords everywhere we can put them.
It'll be an entire paragraph of HR disruptor.
Exactly, right.
Project manager.
Right. But also your opportunity to say, this is who I am and this is where I'm going in my career. And maybe even a little bit about you personally, or what you love to talk about, or some of the people you've enjoyed interviewing, you know, especially the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn
Profile. Oh, no, I'll
put
you right at the top.
Yes. So when you were not sure what direction you were going in, that would have been an opportunity for you to put your best foot forward in the summary and show people who you are and go for exactly what you want.
And truth be told, in when looking between... Because being on the radio, being in communications, there are so many different places you can go, and especially in 2015, it's not just being on the radio anymore. You have to be able to do a lot of different things in a lot of different areas. So you're right. I could put all of that into a very eye-catching, keyword-catching, recruiter-catching summary, because that was some of the frustration that I had as part of my job search, is I had friends who got recruited off of LinkedIn. And I wanted to say, can I strangle you now? How did this happen? How did you do that? They clearly had a much better summary section than me.
And they had their keywords everywhere as well, which I looked at your profile as well. And news anchor was in a couple places, but not everywhere. So the
yes.
more times you have it, the more likely if someone's looking for a news anchor, they're going to find you. The other thing is there are multimedia opportunities on LinkedIn that I noticed you weren't taking advantage of, Rob.
I know.
Yeah, you can actually post clips. You can post videos. You can post audio clips.
So, for example, I have my entire audio resume is on a SoundCloud account. I could put that on my profile and people can listen to it that way.
You could, or you could just put smaller clips of some of your favorite interviews so people could click and listen to
the podcast of this one.
The podcast of this one, or, you know, anyone that you had fun interviewing or you thought you really shined. Put that even a 2-minute or 3-minute clip so people can easily see that, and also some images of you with people. You could see your face and your energy.
What, so my highly Photoshopped professional headshot isn't good enough?
I'm sure it helps.
It was airbrushed 7 ways from Sunday, which is why it's up there.
Your photo is very good, and the photo is important. The photo is important. For a long time, I didn't take my own advice, and I did not have a professional photo. And I'll tell you, as soon as I got a professional photo done and put that up, I started getting more offers for speaking opportunities. People took me more seriously. So that photo is important. You know, no cat photos on LinkedIn.
Darn. That was the other photo that I wasn't going to use. It was the highly Photoshopped picture of me and a cat. I want to ask you about the job search function on LinkedIn, because that's some place where I spent a lot of time. And I thought it was very good. I thought it did a very good job of kind of weeding out the jobs that for which I was not qualified or perhaps was overqualified. I thought it was better than, let's say, CareerBuilder or Indeed in finding a job that was really matched to my skill set. Is that a good place to go? Is that a place where recruiters are actually looking, or do they have that just so they can fulfill their equal opportunity requirement?
I think it's a great place to go as a part of your job search. It's not a complete solution to your job search. Most of the jobs that are posted on LinkedIn, once you apply, you end up on the company's actual website and you apply through the website. That's not universally true, but a lot of them, you end up on the company's website. So you're an anonymous person applying for a job from a job board. It might be a job that's very well suited for you, but you can actually see on LinkedIn how many other people are applying for that job, and they're probably also well qualified for the job.
Brenda, well, I was going to say, I got to get cracking for the 8 o'clock news, and I will also fix my LinkedIn profile so it matches the advice in your book. Brenda Bernstein is the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. Thanks for joining us tonight on WGN.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot, and do what she says, starting with me.